There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Yesterday was National Signing Day, big day for IU football and colleges all around the country. Indiana signed 23 commits from to the class for 2017. They signed all but one of the guys who were committed going into January. The one who got away was Kurt Rathdell. He signed at Nebraska. IU also narrowly missed out on defensive end Bobby Roundtree. He ended up going to Illinois. You know, not too many losses. It was an impressive feat for this class to stay together through the staff changes that Indiana had, getting rid of Kevin Wilson before the bowl game, and then you had staff changes with offensive coordinator, receivers coach. You had Greg Fry leaving about a week ago as well. But right now we want to bring in TJ Inman. TJ, first I want to thank you for all the hard work you did on the profiles for yesterday. We could not have had our highest traffic day ever on Hoosier Huddle without your hard work, and I know people enjoyed reading those, so thank you, TJ.
Yeah, I'm glad we're able to have so much success with them. That was really great to see, and I hope that the incoming recruits, I hope that they enjoyed having kind of that first bit of exposure, and I know that our readers had some comments on there, and I'm glad that so many people were able to read those and get just a little glimpse at IU's new recruits. I really enjoyed doing the research on the new players, and you know, I'm not a talent evaluator expert, but I can watch highlight tapes and kind of look at the measurables and do research as far as, you know, a team record and find some local newspaper articles and stuff to kind of see a little bit about what these guys are about. And then just try and think about where they fit into the roster, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today, both for next season and long-term. And from there, just kind of write those articles welcoming the new players to Indiana, and it was fun to do, and I'm glad we had a really good day on the site. So you know, momentum for IU football and momentum for Hoosier Huddle, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I want to get into some recruiting rankings first. It's something Tom Allen did was asked about and talked about.
Yeah,
and I know fans both in those Facebook groups who message or who comment on there, and on our own Facebook page, who comment and message me on there. First, I want to apologize if I did not get back to your question yesterday. We were super swamped. So I apologize if we didn't get to your message right away. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for the questions and all that. But a lot of the commenters are concerned with the class ranking for
yep.
Indiana. They finished with a 247 sports, I believe it's the composite ranking of 63rd in the nation. Now, the teams around them they're not bad teams. They finished just ahead of Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, BYU, BC. They finished ahead of Houston, Cal, teams like that. They finished just behind Boise State, Cincinnati, Kansas State, Minnesota, West Virginia, Virginia. So the difference between 63 and let's say 50 or let's say 55 is a player or two. I really actually like this class. what Tom Allen said yesterday on recruiting rankings. He said, you know, he doesn't really pay attention to them. He tells his coaching staff to trust their evaluation skills. The guys who do these recruiting rankings for the recruiting services are not football coaches. They get limited glances at these prospects. Now, they put in hard work. They do know what they're talking about, but, you know, take a guy like Nick Tronti, who is a two-star player, but all the high school coaches in Florida, you know, voted him Mr. Football in the state and the class, I think, 5A player of the year as well. So, you know, you take these recruiting rankings with a grain of salt. Now, I'm not saying ignore them. You know, they don't matter. Of course they matter. If you're going to have a recruiting class that is number one, your ceiling for your talent is better. It'd be nice to have, like, Alabama has 6 5-star players and 18 4-star players. You're going to have better quality depth and building a team. But I think Indiana did pretty well in terms of their, if you want to go back, and especially with the coaching transition, to Kevin Wilson's first class in 2011, you know, that, you know, he took over for Bill Lynch after that, and his recruiting class ranking for that class was higher than I thought, at 57, but it was, the numbers-wise, it was only a 157.88. The IU class coming in with Allen is at 163, I believe. So just the talent is a little bit better than before, but to me, the rankings, really take it a grain of salt. Look at the players' tapes coming in. Look where they played. Like TJ said, we're not scouting experts, but we can tell you, we can, you know, tell you that, you know, getting 9 players from the state of Florida, which is arguably the best state for high school football, is tremendous. So that's my spiel on rankings. Let's get down to the class itself. I thought it was a very good class. It filled the holes that they needed to fill. And to me, it's, you know, 23, they missed out on Roundtree. That would have been a cherry on top of a great class to me. But it just, this class really, I think, could be special down the road. And there's a lot of kids you could get behind and who are easy to cheer for.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a couple of cool stories that yesterday, Morgan Ellison, running back, that was the one player that was not committed to Indiana before yesterday but signed with Indiana. He announced it yesterday via a YouTube video, which, you know, typically I would say is a bit, you know, self-aggrandizing and attention-grabbing. However, this one was to me, it was very well done. It was not kind of a look at me. It was more of a, you know, here's my story told in kind of a tribute to his grandfather. I highly recommend that the fans of Indiana, or just college football fans in general, take a look at that video. It's about 3 minutes long, so it's not going to take you hardly any time. We tweeted out the link to that yesterday upon his commitment. So you can find it on the Hoosier Huddle
Twitter
account.
I'll put the link out.
Yeah.
I'll put the link out again, either in his profile and again on Twitter for those who missed it. And it was a great video. You see a lot of these, a lot of these players try to make it hyped up, but this really told his story. And his story is unique. You
a
know,
good
he,
example.
He missed a couple.
I'm just going to say he's a good example of why recruiting rankings sometimes are skewed. You know, missed his sophomore and junior seasons pretty much entirely because of broken legs. Not injuries that, you know, you hope that they don't have a long-term impact on him, but, you know, colleges just didn't know, and they moved on and filled their classes with other running backs and turned their focus to other running backs that were playing. guys that could evaluate. The same for scouting services. 247 and Scout and Rivals. You know, they moved on past him. He was being looked at prior to his sophomore year, getting attention from all the powerful Midwest schools around here. You know, think of the Big Ten power, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. They were giving him attention. Breaks his leg. They move on. The scouting services move on. He gets forgotten about. Comes in his senior year and just tears it up. Incredibly productive. The tape, it's very obvious. He's a you know, very capable player, potentially much more than just capable. And it just shows that, and for a while, Ellison was a two-star guy. He's now a three-star. I think his composite rating's like 85, one of the top guys in this class for Indiana. But I think it's probably a case where he does not end up at Indiana if he doesn't get hurt. He probably ends up at Ohio State or, you know, Michigan State or something. So it could be a case where, you know, the injury ends up him going to IU, and I think it's a great situation for him, and he seems very comfortable with Coach McCullough, and we know that Coach McCullough is very capable of turning, you know, good players into great running backs. So, you know, we'll talk about the running back class in a little bit here, but I think his story is really cool, and he's a good example of why sometimes recruiting rankings are a little bit skewed just by basis of they haven't been able to evaluate them.
Yeah, and they have, you know, Hayden Whitehead, who hadn't played American football, unranked, you know, Tyrese Freifogel, who Coach Hurd was talking about at the great signing day event IU did put on last night, that, you know, his town had fewer people than was at this event. So it's tough to judge. I really do like this class. I'm not saying that as a homer. It seems like all these players are, you know, they have high motivation. They all seem to have chips on their shoulder. Somebody either overlooked them or didn't give them a chance or had a bad break, things like that. So, you know, that's something you're going to need at Indiana, is to play with that chip on your shoulder so you could beat the schools who, you know, either didn't recruit you or didn't look at you or who just didn't want you. So that's what I like about this class. Morgan Ellison, I know you're very high about, but a lot of these guys, you're going to see a lot of these guys playing, and we'll have some articles coming out here in the next few days on instant impact guys. To name a few, I think Ellison is a guy who you could see crack the running back rotation. You know, Watt Fillier is a dynamic slot guy who could play. Jawan Burgess, he's the highest rated recruit in this class for IU. He can make an impact on special teams. He can make an impact on defense. But, you know, the talent that IU's already had here is going to make it tough for some of these guys to make it worthwhile playing their freshman year. And it is a new staff, for the most part, with maybe some new philosophies. Allen did say the best players will play, and now that he's got his guys who he's recruited, maybe they'll get a shot. So, to me, you know, looking at guys to make an impact on special teams is someplace that they need to clean up. I think Hayden Whitehead will do that. Apparently, he could punt with both feet. You know, he's a left-footed punter, so he'll punt better with his left foot, but he could also punt rolling out to his right with his right foot. So, you know, that should be an upgrade at that position. And there's some upgrades other places. Maybe Nick Tronti pushes Richard Lego to be better, to improve and put some heat on him in that position, where, you know, really didn't see that with Austin King and Peyton Ramsey yet. So maybe he pushes that whole group to be better, and that only improves the team. So I really like this class. The most impressive part to me was how they kept this together. And a lot of times when you have coaching changes, the class falls apart. And only one guy who had been committed, decommitted, you missed out on Bobby Rountree. So, you know, you called a 1.5 misses, but for a staff going through as many changes as IU did, that was impressive to me. What impressed you with this class, TJ?
I agree with that. I also was very impressed with how they finished, particularly, you know, it was kind of the offensive side of the ball that finished really strong, which was a little bit surprising considering, you know, Tom Allen's a guy that came in as the head coach. Well, the offensive, you know, the guy credited as being the offensive genius of the staff, head coach Kevin Wilson departs. It was a little bit surprising to see the offense finish as strong as it did. I think it's obviously very impressive to land as many high-quality Florida guys as they did. And the great thing about that is that does not appear to be a connection that's going to disappear anytime soon. You know, Coach Inge, Coach Allen, they have connections in Florida that aren't going to disappear. So I'm very impressed by that. And just the overall body types in this class, which, you know, it sounds weird to talk about like that, but, you know, that's what it is. Just the length and size of this class is something I think is very impressive. Along the defensive line, you're really bulking up there. Juan Harris is listed coming in at 6'4", 368, according to 247. Tom Allen made a comment yesterday on an interview he had in the Big Ten Network where he said that the weights for him and Caleb Jones were a little bit under what they actually weigh, which is astounding. I mean, Juan Harris very big man, and Caleb Jones, I have seen Caleb Jones in person. He's listed at 6'8", 370. He's bigger than that. He is an absolute mountain of a man, and I just the overall size of this class, not in terms of, you know, the number of recruits, but in the recruits, their size and length, I think, is something that's very impressive to me.
Yeah, and they had Juan Harris come up on stage with Coach Hagan while the position coaches were introducing their position groups, and he is a massive human being, and I think he's one of the guys who could be a plug-and-play guy. He has quick feet.
Yeah.
His tape is outstanding. So as long as they could, you know, keep him focused on the field, I think they'll have a great player in him. You know, so we'll have a mock 2 deep coming out here in the next week or so where we'll try and plug in some of these recruits and some of these signees to where they might play this year. But it's going to be a fantastic spring with some of these early enrollees. You have Mike McGinnis, Hayden Whitehead, you know, Thomas Allen is on campus. Tyler Knight is there. And I believe there's one more, but I'm blanking on it right now. But these guys are on campus. They're learning the systems and guys who can make an impact right away. So I think they filled all their needs. They got a couple linebackers or three linebackers. They fill that hole that Marcus Oliver left by declaring to the draft. Two running backs, I really – think that they needed it. Craig Nelson is the other one. I played in Dade County at Booker T. Washington High School down in Miami. I was all Dade County. And, you know, the rumor out of Dade County is that they've had more Division I players per year than, like, the state of Illinois outside of Chicago does in a year. So it's really impressive where they're getting these guys from. And I think the running back group, you could see, you know, either of them jumping in and playing this year. Where you might see some red shirts is maybe at the wide receiver position. IU does get Simi Cobbs back. They get Nick Westbrook back as well. And then they have the freshman who redshirted from last year, who we'll talk about at another point in time as well. So you can see Tyrese Freifogel possibly redshirting. He fits that mold of Simi Cobbs and Nick Westbrook. So,
right,
you know, that's the offensive lineman, maybe a Caleb Jones redshirts. He's a raw talent. Maybe he redshirts and gets ready. You do have some linemen who can be plug-and-play guys this year. Maybe Harry Kreider comes in and takes over at center, where IU had a few issues. But, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of talent in both this redshirt group moving up and the incoming true freshman that'll be hitting the field in the fall.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that, and it's a good thing, Indiana returns the majority of their team from last season. So there's not going to be a ton of playing time available right away. It is going to be important that they continue to increase depth, and Tom Allen talked about it yesterday, that Indiana, and it's not a new story, Indiana was very close in a number of games against high-profile opponents, but they were unable to close the deal in any of them. And that's, as the motto is, through, and that's what they're talking about, is getting from close to victory.
If I had a nickel every time that one of the coaches said breakthrough, I'd be retired by now. It's like every other sentence is breakthrough. And that's, you know, piggybacking on you is getting to that next level. Now you have some really quality freshmen coming in who, you know, could spell some of these veterans for bits of time and save them for the rest of the season and maybe not have those breakdowns that they've had in the fourth quarter. And another note on late in the game stuff, I believe Tennessee was first either in the country or the SEC in fourth quarter offense. Mike DeBoard was the offensive coordinator there. He's here now. That's another good sign. And talk about this staff. They're very loose. It's so much different than when Kevin Wilson was here, where guys kind of seemed uptight, didn't want to step on toes. These guys were joking at this event last night, joking around, talking to people, laughing. Tom Allen was telling stories about how his son Thomas and Grant Hurd did some wrestling move and it caught Coach Hurd off guard, and you know, he just wanted to set this, and people were laughing. So I think the atmosphere surrounding this program with this coaching staff is lighter. It's just a brighter, happier place to be, and I think that'll go a long way in terms of making it enjoyable for players to come in and work hard and not dread having to go to practice or, you know, wake up early. I think these coaches want to be here and want to coach, and these players want to play for these coaches. So, you know, look for big things in 17 out of these guys. And I was just impressed with just the attitude of this coaching staff yesterday.
Good to hear, and it's perfectly understandable. I mean, Tom Allen came across very well in the interviews. I'm excited about the overall direction, and I was, you know, right away when Tom Allen was first introduced as defensive coordinator. I feel the same way now as I do then, and now it's backed up by his positive results, and I think it's unquestionable the overall talent level of Indiana football, of the roster from top to bottom, continues to improve each year. I mean, we were talking, texting earlier, just about getting our two deep ready, and you know, there are some upperclassmen that are going to be juniors and seniors that it's kind of hard to see a path to the field for them, because the the redshirt freshmen and the true freshmen are, quite frankly, we feel better about them as players than those returning upperclassmen that are juniors and seniors that have not seen the field very much yet, and it kind of is hard to see a path to the field where they do. So, you know, the overall talent level continues to improve, and I think it's really exciting. And you have a high number of returning guys as well, so there's not really hardly any roster turnover, which, you know, continuity is incredibly important in any sport, especially football, where it's, you know, it's so much about physical development and mental development as you, you know, get experience and snaps, as well as time in the weight programs and the conditioning programs. So I think all that's very exciting. You know, looking at kind of position by position, I guess we'll start with defensive line, which has the most guys coming in this class. Juan Harris, LaShawn Minor are kind of the two defensive tackles. Michael Ziemba and Britt Beery kind of could be swing guys that play inside and outside, similar to Jacob Robinson, you know, the role that he's had. You know, Britt Beery is a guy that stands out to me. Saw him play at Carmel some. He's very productive. He's a big guy. He's maybe 6'7" by now. They said he was still growing. So he's got a lot of height and a lot of length. And I think that Mark Hagan said yesterday he had already gotten up to about 280. He's listed at 270, and it sounds like he continues to pack on weight, which leads me to believe he'll be in kind of the Jacob Robinson type role. I think he's a very interesting player. Michael Ziemba is a very good athlete, played tight end as well. He was a productive tight end, and they're going to start him out on defense. But it sounds like he's a guy that they're not quite sure yet what his role is going to be, but they're excited about him and the athleticism he's going to bring to that group. And then the pass rushers, Lance Bryant from Texas, is the bigger one right now, appears to be the one more ready to play, 6'2", 245. Then Trey Maurice is another very, very good story, not a good story, but a story of overcoming to get to Division I and to get to Indiana. He's had some personal tragedies in his life that no one should have to deal with, especially someone as young as he was when it happened. And the story of that is in his profile on the site. But, you know, a kid from Florida that a very, very athletic and quick off the line, kind of your ideal edge pass rusher if he can pack on 15, 20 pounds. Right now he's only listed at 220. He's a little bit slight at this time. That does not mean that he can't get bigger. He certainly has the potential to be an elite-level pass rusher for Indiana sometime in the future. I think he's a guy that you could see redshirt. Indiana has some guys returning that are similar in frame to him that will be ahead of him in terms of how long they've been in the program. So I think Tremar Reese, a guy with a very bright future that might not make an impact during his freshman year unless he puts on the weight, the muscle mass that I'm talking about to take on those Big Ten tackles early on. So that's just my overview thoughts on the defensive line. The tackles, I forgot to mention them. I think Juan Harris, you mentioned it, an instant impact guy. I do believe he is someone that will crack the defensive tackle rotation. It's a spot that you probably want to have. Probably want to have a rotation of six guys for those two spots that you feel really confident in. And then, you know, if injuries happen, you want to have maybe another one or two to bring it to seven or eight guys. I think Indiana right now has probably three or four that they already feel good about. You bring everybody back except for Ralph Green. So I think there is some room to break into to one of those I think the top four guys of the defensive tackles will play quite a few snaps every game, and I think Juan Harris could be that third or fourth option there behind Patrick Daugherty and Hoff.
Nate Hoff.
So, yeah, Nate Hoff. And I think he's due to his size and the ability we've seen on tape, like you said, consistency is going to be the issue there for him, but he's a highly talented guy that Indiana has not had too many players. I can't think of too many that have come in as physically imposing as he already is as far as defensive lineman goes, but from a physical profile, I think you look at Ralph Green that graduated. I think that Juan Harris has the potential to be the type of player that Ralph Green was, and you know, hopefully a little more year-to-year consistency than Green had. But Ralph Green had a really good final season, and I think that's what you'd like to see from Juan Harris during his career at Indiana. So that's my thoughts on the defensive line. If you want to expand on that, or we can move on to a different position group if you think I touched on it all.
Yeah, I think you got it all on the defensive line. It'll be interesting to see who redshirts there and who plays, because
yeah,
it was an area of focus this class. Let's move to linebacker, and we'll just go down the line on defense or from
sure,
front to back. Linebacker IU does lose Marcus Oliver to the NFL draft. They do return Tigray Scales. That in itself was like getting another five-star recruit back. He's arguably the best linebacker in the country. Maybe people from bigger schools will, you know, look down on that, but he's arguably the best linebacker in the country. Then you bring in a JUCO transfer. He was honorable mention All-American at Asa College in Brooklyn, is Mike McGinnis. He's a guy who fits the mold of Oliver. He's a tough tackler. He can force fumbles as well. So it's good to have a guy who's proven. He was originally a University of Miami commit, went down there, I guess didn't like it, moved to Asa College in Brooklyn for a year or two, and now is in Bloomington. I think he will fit the role of Marcus Oliver. Then you have Mo Burnham coming. He was a Tennessee commit. People, they love his athleticism. He's a guy who might need a year to fill in, especially behind Scales and those guys in front of him, Scales, Covington, Damian Willis,
yeah,
and those guys. So it's not a lack of talent on his. He has Big Ten size. He's 6'2", 220 already. It's a matter of is he worth playing this early for a couple plays just to burn a year? But who knows?
Yeah.
He could go, you know, develop into a pro linebacker as well, so you might as well play him freshman year. But he would add depth, maybe see some time on special teams as well. And then you have Thomas Allen, the third linebacker in the group. Tom Allen's son, he's played a lot of football in his young career. He's a guy who's, you know, coach's kid, usually smart, knows the defense. He's tough. I believe they said he had 470 tackles in 4 years of high school. So he's a guy who, again, with IU's depth at linebacker now with McGinnis, could probably redshirt and see some time in the future. But, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's played winning football. He's productive with 470 tackles. So I think he's a good get, and we'll see how he plays for his dad. It'll be interesting to see that dynamic. TJ, anything else on the linebackers?
No, I personally think it's likely one of those two, Thomas Allen or Mo Burnham. I think one of those two will play. I don't think that both of them will. I think Mike McGinnis cracks the two deep and battles with Chris Covington for the starting spot next to Tigre Scales. I personally really like Chris Covington's game, and I think the athletic duo of Scales and Covington would be really, really good, particularly against teams that spread it out and pass quite a bit. And then maybe you see McGinnis partner with Scales against run-heavy teams. But I think it's getting McGinnis was a real must because he's a guy that, in theory, is going to be ready to play big-time college football pretty early on and not need much of an adjustment period. So that was a big get. And then Thomas Allen and Mo Burnham, two younger guys that really, number one, fill in the depth this year if needed, but more importantly, replenish the linebacking core for the future. So big time there. True corners with Damian Hunt and then Raheem Lane, late commitment to Indiana, the decommitment from Minnesota. Both these guys, a little bit bigger corners than what Indiana has on most of the roster. It's important to get a pair of true 6'1",
yeah,
I think, is what I'm saying.
Between 6 foot and 6'1", is what Allen said yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, with Rashard Fant at one corner, I think he's at 5'10 or 5'11". And A'shaun Riggins at the other corner, where he's, I think, about 6 feet. These bigger corners are huge for IU in terms of having run support from the secondary, and they needed the depth. IU's had depth issues at corner. Thankfully, A'shaun Riggins came up with a big freshman year, and then of course you have Rashard Fant, who's coming back as well, and just like Tigre Scales, that's almost like getting another big time recruit out there. So these are the two guys who, you know, have instant impact potential, just because that there's very little depth at corner, and IU needed to get two corners, and these guys I think have two of the fastest guys in the class. And if you watch their tape, TJ,
yeah,
their stride length when they get into the open field is unbelievable. It's almost one stride per 5 yards. And I think it was Raheem Lane's first play on that tape is an interception or a fumble recovery where he takes it back for a touchdown. And the last 30 yards, it almost was like six steps. So
yeah,
they have it almost looks like true like track sprinter speed, but with football instincts. So I like both of those guys.
Yeah, Raheem Lane in particular appears to be a guy that just physically, I mean, his body appears to be,
I'll go out on a limb and
ready,
say he's going to have a touchdown return. He's going to return something for a touchdown either next year or whenever he touches the field. He's got that kind of speed, and he's got a little
yeah.
D on in him as well with some swag and confidence. So I do think Raheem Lane is going to take either a punt or a kick or an interception or a fumble back for a touchdown.
Yeah, that would not stun me. The highlight tape showed a number of those, and he's a player that the measurables are certainly there for both him and Hunt that you look for in cover corners. And it was important to fill out the depth. And I do think there's a good chance that at least one of those guys sees the field quite a bit. And it's very possible both of them do if they can come in and perform, pick up the corners, a position that, there's not a ton of complexity to it. It's very hard to do, but there's not a huge learning curve in this defense, for the corners. So, we saw with Deshaun Riggins last year, it's very possible for true freshmen to come in and be able to get early playing time at that position. So we'll see there. The safeties or athletes is what they're being listed at, but Indiana's going to start both of them at either safety or Husky. Jawan Burgess and Bryant Fitzgerald, two of the higher recruited or higher ranked guys in the class. Bryant Fitzgerald from Avon, Indiana. He's been committed for a while. Jawan Burgess, a flip from USC. These are two guys that there's a whole lot to be excited about.
Yeah, and I think they said Fitzgerald was going to play Husky. He's a little bit bigger body type. He could play linebacker. He could play safety. He's got great ball skills. When he has the ball in his hand, he played running back, too, at Avon. And you saw on the highlight tape, I mean, he's spinning off of tackles on returns. He's a guy who could see some playing time behind Marcelino Ball. And then Jawan Burgess is another guy who Allen compared to Jonathan Crawford. And having a guy like that now, Burgess should get onto the field. He's probably the best athlete of this group in terms of skill, size, speed, and everything. But it'll be hard to displace a guy like Jonathan Crawford. Tony Fields played well last year as well. And then you have Chase Dutra there. So he could break into that too deep. Will he start? No, but he could take some of the heat off of Crawford and Fields. Crawford played in 2 years. He's played a lot of football. He played every play his freshman year. I would say he was on the field 95% of the time last year. To get a guy who could, as a freshman, jump in and give some of these guys a break early on in the season, late in the season, to keep their legs and keep them fresh, would be really huge. And Burgess is a guy who could do that. He's a heavy hitter. He has a nose for the ball. He has good hands. He also played receiver. And I think he might be your guy on kick returns well.
Yep. Yeah, that's a spot where you don't want to – you're not – I'd be stunned if he redshirted. And so if you're going to use his eligibility as a freshman, you want to get your money's worth, if you will, and make sure that it's worth doing. And like you said, Jonathan Crawford is not going to be someone that you take off the field on defense very often. You are going to find other ways to get Jawan Burgess involved, and one of those ways is kick return. And it's a spot Indiana's looking for electricity on, and he can bring it for sure, an elite-level athlete that I'm very excited to see what Indiana can do with him and what he can do in Bloomington. I think it's going to be it's very possible that a strong year from Jonathan Crawford means that he goes to the NFL after this coming season. It's possible. I don't know if it's probable, but it's possible. And it does. If he does, then you've got the replacement there, the guy that can step up as a sophomore in Jawan Burgess. And that's a long-term thing. A short-term thing is, I think, kick return. And like you said, taking a little bit of that burden off of Jonathan Crawford and Tony Field at safety. And then Bryant Fitzgerald at Husky is a big hitter, versatile player that I think Tom Allen will really love having as a guy to move around the defense. And you can never have too many top-level athletes that can tackle. You can never have too many of those guys because so much of the college game now is built on speed and getting things to the perimeter. And guys that can match speed for speed with the top offensive players and then make tackles are just, I mean, they're priceless. So it was really big to get these two players. I'm very excited about what both of them can bring to IU secondary.
Yeah, and definitely. And I think, some of it goes into IU's got to start blowing out some of these lesser opponents to get some of these older guys off the field a little bit, getting these young guys some run. And I think that's hurt in the past with quarterback development. But let's switch over to offense. We'll start at quarterback. IU does have some issues at quarterback. Richard Lego had problems holding on to the ball. He did throw for over 3,000 yards and holds the school record for most passing yards in a game. I think he has the skills. They just have to fine-tune him, you know, maybe his mechanics a little bit. But the guy in this group, Nick Tronti, you know, Tom Allen had his eye on him for what it seems, you know, he said yesterday was for a little bit. As soon as he got the job as head coach, he went after him. It was a lot of his connections down in Florida pointed this guy out to him and how he's under-recruited, and he liked what he saw. He's a winner. He comes up in the clutch. The dude just put up numbers. A lot of numbers. He won Florida, you know, Mr. Football for Florida. That's, you know, award won by guys like Dante Culpepper, Tim Tebow, Delvin Cook. So, you know, you're not a joke if you win that award. I think, you know, he might have been under-recruited because of his size. He's only 6'2", but he's 6'2", 215. He's a dual-threat guy. He could take a hit if he needs to. Do I see him cracking the two deep? And this is a lot of commenters and fans are discussing this, is can he get into the two deep? Now, the issue here is he will be 15 practices behind in the new system when he comes on campus. You know, can he make that lost time up, you know, in fall camp? Maybe there's a role for him like IU used Xander last year, but I really think that he's going to end up playing in a backup role until Lego graduates, or, you know, he turns some heads and earns a job this year. But either way, he's a tremendous get, an under-recruited guy who just can ball out.
Yeah, I doubt they use his red shirt in a Xander Diamond-type role. If they have that kind of package in the offense, if Lego ends up starting and they want a mobile threat for some packages on offense, I think Peyton Ramsey might have enough mobility to do something like that, and you don't burn the red shirt for Nick Tronti. I don't know. We'll see. There's you know, there's certainly some unknown here, but I am very, very excited about the future for Nick Tronti, and I think he might end up winning a whole lot of games at Indiana and be a player that fans really love watching, based on things that I've read and seen from him. These types of players typically...
He's a high character guy. He's good in the classroom.
Overlooked because of size? I mean, those kind of players usually produce at a big level.
Yeah, chip on his shoulder. You know, he's not 5'10", he's 6'2". So,
yep.
I mean, he can roll out
big.
And make throws. Yeah, and he's 215. It's not like having Xander at 160 where every hit you hold your breath and hope he gets up. But Nick Tronti, clutch player, we'll see where he comes in next year. Let's switch to running back. We talked a little bit about this at the opening, and we'll expand on it. I think these two running backs can get on the field as soon as next year. Morgan Ellison, you know, we're probably going to see Kameon Patrick starting if he's healthy. Morgan Ellison can jump the rest of the group, who has been kind of underwhelming in their last, you know, couple years on campus. Mike Bajet can't seem to stay healthy. Devontae Williams has issues staying healthy and hasn't been that productive. Cole Guest, you know, was a little banged up. And then you have Ricky Brookins and Alex Rodriguez. So he could make that jump to the number two spot. Powerful runner. Reminds us of Jordan Howard and how he runs. And then you have Craig Nelson, who's the speed back, the fast guy who is kind of like Guest in terms of burst. He's the guy that this group was missing last year when Guest went down. and he could, you know, jump if Guess gets hurt or something like that. He could jump into that group as well. So I think these running backs are ready to jump into the Big Ten. Whether or not they're not going to be 200 carry backs yet, but they could take some of the load off of Camion and the rest of the group, maybe get 40 to 50 carries this season and be game changers on special teams as well.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. I think Craig Nelson is a guy that could contribute very early on special teams. I don't see him getting very many carries early on, but I could be wrong about that. Another player that might be under-recruited because he was at a very high-profile high school, Booker T. Washington. He was a corner for the first 2 years of his eligibility, switched over to running back before his senior year and was not really expected to play much, and then a couple of injuries ahead of him, and he gets a chance and produces at a pretty big clip and tons of speed for him. I think maybe punt return type, perhaps, or maybe he pairs with Burgess as kick return guys. I'm not sure, but I think that it's very possible.
The kick return game should be wide open. IU hasn't returned a kick or two past the 40-yard line in like 2 years. And that's going to change under Allen. He's taken special teams very seriously, and it's something that IU needs to fix. So I think that, you know, if one of these freshmen can provide that spark that IU's been missing on special teams, he's going to play. And regardless, if that's the only position he plays, he's still going to play, and they'll burn that red shirt for that. And let's move on to wide receivers here. As you know, we're running a little low on time, so we'll have to go a little quickly. Now, the IU site does list Britt Beery as a wide receiver, but I don't think that's true. Let's start with Tyrese Freifogel. He's a guy that new wide receivers coach Grant Hurd brought in from Mississippi. He was almost a lock to go to Ole Miss. He's a 6'2", 205 receiver who kind of reminded us of Simi and Nick Westbrook. So we'll see. I think he redshirts, but he has tremendous hands, is a tremendous athlete, and would be a nice bridge after either, you know, if Simi puts up a good year, he could go pro, and then Nick Westbrook would also be draft eligible if he puts up a good season. But either way, he would be a good bridge for that 2019 receiving core if both of those guys stay for the senior years.
Yeah, I think he is one of the most probable redshirt candidates just because of the personnel in front of him and how closely he matches up with them. And then the guys coming off of redshirt as well are of the bigger variety. Jonah Morris and Phil Banker and Taysir Mack, and then Donovan Hale is also a bigger receiver. So hard to see a path to playing time right away for him, but certainly, you know, a good gift for the future. And a guy that the wide receiver coach Grant Hurd really liked, obviously. And then I think Walt Fillier, he's going to start out of slot, and I think he's going to play.
He's the guy that, you know, you don't know what you have in the slot. Yeah, he's a guy who's explosive. You don't know what you have in the slot with Jason Harris coming off of two knee injuries. You have Luke Timmy in there. So, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, WAP can break into that too deep. He could be a bigger Shane Wynn-esque type of player with his speed at 5'11", 185. And, two, he has an awesome football name, WAP Fillier. So, slot is a position that IU will need. He's a bigger slot guy as well. And I think the opportunity is there. The other wide receiver they have, there's another one.
Peyton Hendershot, I guess. I mean, it's tight end.
We'll move on to tight ends, wide receivers. Peyton Hendershot, one of the issues the last couple years has been the lack of use of tight ends in the passing game. Mike DeBoard talked about that yesterday. He said he's a tight end coach. We're going to throw the ball to the tight end, and everybody in that room cheered. Hendershot is a guy who could go up and get it at 6'4", 227. He's a tremendous athlete. They showed highlights of him playing basketball and just dunking, posterizing people. He could be a game breaker at tight end. Now, there is some depth. There are some rumors going out there that some of the tight end guys could be gone or not gone. But you have Danny Friend back. You have Austin Doris back. And you have Sean Bonner back. And Ian Thomas as well. So there's four guys there. But if they, you know, if Hendershot could jump a couple of these guys, I don't think that the board would have an issue playing five tight ends in that position. So we'll see where they go there. He could redshirt, and we'll see. Ian Thomas, I think, will be a senior. Danny Friend is a senior. And so at least in the next year, in the 2018 season, there'll be more opportunity for Hendershot to play.
Right away. Yep, I would totally agree with all of that. And then offensive line, Tyler Knight, a great shirt last season. So he's a little bit ahead of these other guys. But
he
didn't
gray shirt. Tyler Knight didn't gray shirt. He just enrolled early. He enrolled early in January, so he is a little ahead. But he was the first commit for this class.
You're right.
I believe he committed back in November of 2015.
Yeah.
He's been amazing to talk to and really loves IU coming up from down in Florida. So we'll see where he plays. He's a guy who could play as a freshman. And then other offensive linemen, Harry Kreider from Columbus, Indiana. I didn't get a chance to see him play, but Matt Weaver has. He's an alum of Columbus, Columbus East, I believe. Kreider's one of those few true centers in high school, who played center in high school, who will probably play center in college. And I think he might have a shot. Indiana was couldn't settle on a center last year. And then, we all thought Simon Stepniak and Hunter Littlejohn would be the next in that group behind guys like Jake Reed and stuff. But that hasn't really materialized yet. Is there going to be an opportunity for Kreider to crack that two deep at center?
Yes, absolutely. I think at worst he's going to be the backup, and I think it's very possible he ends up starting. He's very athletic, moves well, he's big. He's textbook center coming in. It's just a matter of whether or not somebody else beats him for the position. But, with a new offensive line coach coming in and a new offensive coordinator that's not beholden to anyone, and no one really has any reason to think they're the starting center, I think Kreider could grab that spot. And I think at worst he's going to be the backup.
I like
him a lot.
And then
Caleb Jones.
Caleb Jones is he's listed at 6'8", 370. You've seen him in person, and I'll take your word for it. He's bigger than that. His talent is raw. He's a guy who will probably play tackle and will probably have the opportunity to redshirt, develop his skills, and become a real player down, a real good player for this team down the road. TJ, we're out of time.
Real quick on Jones. He played in a run-heavy system at Lawrence North, wing T option, so very little pass blocking. So I would highly really think he'll redshirt. But he does move well for a guy his size, nasty streak on the field, but a very nice kid off of it. He went to the high school that I attended, Lawrence North, played against really good competition every week in the MIC. So I think a very bright future, especially with a kid of his size. No doubt a potential NFL tackle just based on his body and physicality and athleticism. just a matter of whether or not he can harness that. So.
Yep. Well, that does it for today's show. We'll have coverage throughout the off season. Spring practice starts March 4th. Spring game is Thursday, April 13th. We'll have our reactions on that. TJ, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for all the hard work you put in. And, guys, keep following us at Hoosier_Huddle and HoosierHuddle.com.
Absolutely. Yeah, have a great week, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll get working on spring ball as soon as we can.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.